Okay, B'siyata Dishmaya, we're here in Shar Yichud Tzfat, and we are Be'ezat Hashem Yitbarach going to be learning a little bit about the parasha, parashat HaShavua, parashat Shoftim. The parasha starts, and this parasha is filled with commandments and filled with different ideas. It talks a lot about conquering the land of Israel and coming into the land of Israel, Baruch Hashem, our homeland. The parashat starts off, Shoftim v'shotirim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha asher Adonai Elohecha noten lecha lishvatecha v'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. You shall have judges and police in all of your gates that Hashem, your God, has given you to your tribes, and you shall judge the nation with righteous judgments, justice, right? With justice, have a just system. Obviously, we're here not learning just the pshat of the Torah. That's not my job. My job is to go beyond the pshat. So, and then we also want to take it into a Hasidic understanding, meaning I want to bring it into my own makeup and my own life. What does it mean in my life to appoint judges and policemen? I'm not a municipality. I'm not a government. Where do the judges and the police that I have to appoint? So the idea of judging, Chazal say, the rabbis say, a person who judges themselves down here, they don't get judged up above. What does that mean? At the end of the day, if I'm able to do a cheshbon nefesh, a self-review, to check in and to see how's my day been, end of the week before Shabbat, how's my week been? Then right before Rosh Chodesh, the end of the month, and also when you come to Rosh Hashanah, it's a big, important thing to do, to make a calculation of what went on in my life. And when you can judge yourself, not beat yourself up, and not say bad things about yourself, but judge yourself fairly, in order to grow. So that's the judges that you put on yourself. And shotrim, what are the police? Those are all the different things that a person could do in order to enforce, right, themselves to keep the laws and to keep the Torah and keep the life that they're choosing to live. For example, a person makes a fence. They know that if they go to a certain area, they're not going to behave well. So you don't go to that place. That's, so to say, a police guard. And what are the gates? The gates are your seven orifices, all the cavities leading into your brain, into your head, right? We have two eyes, we have two nostrils, we have a mouth, we have two ears. Those are seven gates, the face of the menorah, that guard your brain, which is the resting place of your neshama, and help it to be in a situation where it can receive divine lights and divine information from above. If our gates into our holiness are completely open for the world, meaning I can look at any woman I want, I can look at anything I want, I desire my friend's house, his car, his job, his wife, I listen to nonsense, I don't listen to the rabbis, I don't listen to Torah, I don't use my eyes for positive things, I use them for negative things, I don't use my mouth for positive things, I use it for negative. My nose, I don't have the awe of Hashem, I have the awe of different nonsense things in the world. So then all the gates are blemished. And then there'll never be a just society. And this is a commandment also for the Noahites, right? One of the seven Noahite laws that the whole world has to go by, according to the Torah, is to have a just society. Have a society with fair court systems, and to also have police to protect the people that are living there.
What are the seven gates again?
The seven gates?
Yeah.
Eyes, nostrils, mouth, and ears. 2, 2, 2, 1.
Yeah.
So when we guard all of them, what's going to be then? Hashem gives us this land for our tribes. We just have to make sure we judge everything properly. Don't ever give briberies. Don't try to, cheat your way through the system. It's not the way of living. The Torah doesn't want us to live like that. Then we have one of the most amazing psukim that we have in the world. Why? Because it's said by all the people in the world that don't actually believe in it. It's a famous verse that's used here in Israel and in the U.S. by our brothers and sisters. Tzedek, tzedek tirdof. You ever heard this? Justice, justice you shall pursue. Verse from the Torah. Sounds very righteous, right? Pursue justice. How does the verse continue? Leman tichye, so that you will live. V'yarash le ta'aretz, and you will inherit the land of Israel. That Hashem, your God, is giving you. So justice, justice. You want to run after justice? The second half of that is taking over the land of Israel. Coming in here and taking it over. So we have to make sure we know that as well. Hashem, it is important to seek out justice and to have fair court systems. And part of the clarity comes in the land of Israel. The rabbis teach us that the halacha and the system of making halacha in Babylon, in Iraq, was very tough, was very intense. Rav Chovlim. It's like, it was a very intense way of making halacha. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, everything was na'im, everything was pleasant, everything was much more, right, more expansive mindset. The way they looked at the Torah was from a more expansive place, right? We have two Gemaras, two Talmuds, Talmud Yerushalmi and Talmud Bavli. One was written in Tveria, it's called Yerushalmi, but it's written here in Tveria, the Galil. And one was written in Babylon, in Iraq. What does Babel mean? Confusion. What does Yerushalayim mean? Straight vision, complete vision. And that's how they are. You get into the Talmud Bavli, and it's all back and forth, in complete darkness and confusion. You go into the Yerushalayim, it's expansive, his mindset is all inclusive. It's like one teaching wraps everything up together without the whole back and forth of the intellectual gymnastics. What's alacha lemaseh? What's practical alacha? What do we go by? Bavli. Why? Because this world's messed up. This world's crazy. And that's the book that is able to clarify what is nighttime, what is exile, what is backwardness. But we also have to have our mindset on what is it, what's the right way, what's Eretz Yisrael, what's the expanded mindset. It's also very important. Also, we get warned from doing any kind of idol worship in the land of Israel. God forbid not to do it, to go against the will of Hashem. To never bow down to any other people, suns, moons, anything in the heavens, celestials, any horoscopes or anything like that. We're above it. All of that as an Amisrael. And we get taught also we need two kosher witnesses for any judgment to take place, right? Even if the Torah says left and right that there's death penalty for this and death penalty for that, it's only after two kosher witnesses, meaning they kept Shabbat, they were of a certain age, they were men, and only they came up to you, warned you about what you're going to do, warned you of the sin, warned you of the punishment, went and told on you, went to trial, and the judges are trying the whole time to make sure that you're innocent and not guilty. Only after that, ever, if a person was still found guilty, did the letter of the law come down on them? And if it happened once in 70 years, they would say that was a bloodthirsty, cruel beti. Meaning it wasn't the way. The way of Jewish judges are to make people innocent. Not when it's a lie. Not to try to lie on the system. God forbid. But you think he's guilty, I'm going to push you to the corner to try to get you to prove it. And as long as you can't prove that he's guilty, even if he is guilty, he's getting off. Why? Because the judge can only judge according to what his eyes see. Right, so the way that they would ask questions and the way they would get out the testimony from the person and all of the facts and what counts and what doesn't count, the goal always was, let's let this person free. If he has to be punished, if the judgment after everything doesn't add up, so then it doesn't add up. But the goal again was to make sure that the people walk free. Not like other court cases we know in the world, where even if they tell you you're innocent until proven guilty, you might as well have walked into the jail instead of the courthouse. Let's skip this nonsense procedure. Let me go serve my time. Because we already know how it's going to end up, right? It's a cooked case from the beginning. We also have a commandment to listen to the rabbis and to not move a millimeter to the left or to the right from what they tell us. It goes as far as saying, even if they tell you that left is right and right is left, Even if they tell you the opposite of what seems clear in your eyes, you have to trust them. You have to trust them. Reb Nachman talks about this, it's extremely important to know. When we go to the tzaddikim for advice, that removes all of the judgments from us. When I do the decision by myself, if it doesn't go right, who's to blame? Only myself. If I went and I asked advice and it messed up, it didn't go right, who's to blame? The rabbi? God forbid, only God. God didn't want that thing to happen how you saw it fit, even if the rabbi gave you the blessing for it. But if you do it yourself, or you go to the rabbi and you don't listen to the rabbi, the judgment is only on you. Shlomo HaMelech says a person does like his foolishness messes up his own paths and his heart gets angry at Hashem. You wanted to make your own decisions in life. You wanted to go down the road your own path without asking advice. Who are you going to get angry at the end? Hashem. But you shouldn't. You should only be on you. Why? Because we don't move right or left from what the rabbis say. That's, like we learned yesterday, it's always just trying to bring us closer to the place that we need to be. We have a mitzvah of appointing a king, right? And I just saw a beautiful halacha this morning. The Yenuka gave over amazing halacha, amazing gematria. Som tasim alecha melech asher yivchar Adonai Elohecha bo mikirev achecha. Tasim alecha melech lo tuchal letet alecha ish nochri asher lo achicha hu. They have a commandment to put a king over us, and that king cannot be a non-Jew, right? It has to be a Jew. But look at this, amazing. Who was the first king of Israel?
Saul.
Shaul. What tribe is he from? Binyamin. Benjamin. Who are meant to be the kings of Israel? Yehuda. Judah, right? Look at this. You have a commandment putting a king over you? Mikerev. Hashem says, where should you choose the king from? Mikerev achecha, from amongst your brothers, meaning it has to be a Jew. Mikerev is gematria Shaul. Mikerev achecha is gematria Shevet Yehuda, tribe of Judah. So everything's hinted in there already. The king's not allowed to have too many wives, too many horses. God forbid he should want to go back to Egypt to go buy those things. Just to go to the dealership would be a problem as the king of Israel. Right? We don't go back to Egypt. We do not go back to Egypt. It's a big problem. What else do we have here? Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi doesn't have any portion in the land of Israel, right? They're meant to be supported by the nation for the work that they do inside Temple.
What's the name of that seventh tribe that went to North Africa?
Girgashi. The Girgashi. Have a prohibition of using any witchcraft or seances or calling up spirits from the ground, any of that stuff. That's not what we do in Judaism. We also don't make, right? Oh, a black cat passed me when I was leaving my house, so now I'm not going to go on my business trip. We don't do those things. Those are non-Jewish things. For the nations of the world, Hashem doesn't like those things. We're not meant to do them. We do have our own signs sometimes in Judaism. What we receive from our rabbis is different. We receive it from our rabbis. And it's less on if a black cat crossed in front of you. It's more internal. It's more message and intuition.
But if there's like a full moon, can you... or
If you receive it from the rabbi, if you receive it from the chachamim, no problem. If you saw it online or by any other nation and it's not confirmed in our people, then you can't. It's a literally prohibition in the Torah. We also believe in astrology as Jews, right? But we don't use it as signs always. There's times where these things are applicable, and it's not about oh, that's a bad omen. It's just more like, no, this is the reality of the world right now. It's going to rain, right? If the weatherman tells me it's going to rain and I walk out of my house with a rain jacket, was that listening to signs? No. He knows what he's talking about, right? So when the rabbis say, this time of the year is not the time to do a certain thing, so that's not superstition. It's That's a natural and spiritual reality that they are aware of.
Let's say
right?
The horoscope says, don't do this, that's a different thing.
If you're connected to Torah and Mitzvot, you never have to worry about what's written in a horoscope. If you're not connected to Torah and Mitzvot, your horoscope, just like the non-Jew, is what's going to rule your life. Because you live underneath nature.
And
the horoscopes
that
are nature. No. Horoscopes are real things. Just the Jew is told to ascend above it. How? By way of Torah and Mitzvot and a deep connection to Hashem. Hashem created the stars. And what happened with Avram? We learned this in Korbel Nafshi. Avram couldn't see that he had children. What did Hashem do? He couldn't see that he had children. What did Hashem do to him? The name is one thing. He changed his name so that he would have children. But when Avram couldn't see that he had children, what did Hashem do to him? He took him out of the world, above the galaxies, so he can look down at the stars from a different angle. Why? Because why did he think he couldn't have children? Because he was Avram Avinu, he was the number one astrologer in the whole entire world, and he did not see in any of the stars where he had a child. Naturally, it was impossible. So what did God do? Go above. From on top, can you look down now and see it? Right? So that's the lesson for Avram, and it's the lesson for all of the Jewish children that came out of Avram for that, for the rest of life. So in the stars, it doesn't make sense. What's above the stars?
Is that Mishnah, or is that written
this is
Torah,
in the Torah. And we also learned it in Korin Anashi from the Midrash.
Okay.
But it's in the Torah. Hashem does not like the seven Canaanite nations that were in this land. And when we come into this land, we are told that we have to conquer this land and push out everybody that's here. We can give them the option to leave peacefully. We give them the option to convert into becoming Ben Noach, one of the seven Noahide person following the seven Noahide laws. If they want, they could even convert to Judaism. One thing's for sure, they can't do terrorism, Avodah Zarah, idol worship, anything that is against Torah and Mitzvot and against Hashem in this land, we don't tolerate it. Hashem doesn't want to tolerate it. We have to pray that while we're here now, and we don't have the power that the Torah gives us and Hashem gives us to act rightfully and to do the right thing in our land, we pray that Hashem takes care of our land and takes care of the Jewish people here that are surrounded non-stop by horrible influences on all sides, from within side and outside. We daven every day. We pray every day that Hashem will b'zat Hashem bring us back to the building of Jerusalem and a proper land that is safe and clean and pure of all foreign and foreign negative influences, right? We don't want to be surrounded by people that love death and that give their children off to the Molech, right? People think that that mitzvah from the Torah is so ancient. You can't sacrifice your children, no child sacrifices. It's happening in our generation all the time. In our world, all the time. In every single country, you have child sacrifices. And in this country, you have it on a very high level. Why? Because nearly every single kindergarten or other place that we have here from our cousins is also teaching them how to give over the children to death. This is one of the things that the Torah hates. Hashem hates. Hashem wants love, wants life. He wants people to live. Anybody that praises death and that is prideful about the death and educates a life of death, that's not what we want here in the land, and we don't want that to be on us as well. I have also a commandment to not push the boundaries of your friend, meaning to steal their borders. Right, your friend and you share a property, and the wall is at a certain place, and you come every day and you inch the wall back a little bit, the fence back a little bit in the field. After a few days, you don't realize, but after a month of doing that a few centimeters every day, you gain a lot of land. You might gain a whole entire row, another acre just in a small strip. But if it's a long, small strip, that's a lot of land. The Torah tells you, do not take over the boundaries of your friend as well. It's important things. Sometimes in life also, we have a friend that's doing a certain thing, and you're doing another thing. Don't try to do what he's doing. Let that be his boundary. Don't try to step into his, right? Your friend opens a shawarma on the street. You go and you open a shawarma right in front of him. How are you going to do that? That's not right. It's not fair. Right? You have to, first of all, you have to check with halacha how you can do it. There's ways, but it's not, again, the spirit of the things. You're within your friend's boundary. Respect the boundaries, right? And then we get into some deeper ideas, and that's Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, atem kerevim hayom lemelchama le'oyvechem al yerach levavchem. Listen, Israel, today you're going to war. You're getting closer to the battle with your enemies. It's a preparation, right? These policemen that we're talking about in this parasha, it was also what's called like the military police, that they were in charge of getting the soldiers prepped, right? And make sure also, there's another thing we have in this command in this parasha, that all of the soldiers, male soldiers, are from 20 to 60, 50. מה הגיל של חיילים? צדיק, מה הגיל של החיילים?
צדיק?
לא. 20 עד? 50? 50, נכון. 20 to 50. 20 to 50 was the age of warriors in the Jewish army, right? 20 to 50. And anybody that got brand new house and didn't live in it yet, didn't dedicate it yet, goes home. Anybody that got engaged and didn't get married yet, goes home. And anybody who was scared also went home. Our warriors were warriors. They went out with tefillin on. They went out with no fear. The Rambam says when a Jewish warrior had to go to war, he had to forget about his wife. He had to forget about his children. You can't think about them. You have nothing to go home to. It's either you kill your enemy or you're going to die. There is no woman waiting at you at home for you to be emotional. You remove all of that from your heart. Why? War for God. Who are you fighting for right now? God. There's no woman at home. There's no children at home. You have to be in a mindset of a warrior, like King David. Is that the Shem? We also pray that we get this back, that our military is like that and understands the importance of strength and peace through strength. But the verse says that, listen, Israel, that you're coming now closer to your war, to a war against your enemies. The rabbi said, אפילו אין בכם זכות אלא מה שאתם אומרים בכל יום שמע ישראל אתם רואים לנצח את אויביכם. Even if the Jewish people have no merit, just the fact that they say שמע ישראל, right here the שמע ישראל is just like, listen Israel, listen nation of Israel, you're going to battle. The rabbis look into this verse and they say, even if you have no merit at all, if you're a Jew that says שמע ישראל every day, you're fitting to overcome your battles and your enemies. The fact that you say Shema Yisrael, that's what's going to help you to get over your enemies. Because in all of the wars of the world, they're all hints, right? This whole entire world is just hints to supernal and spiritual realities. So what's the number one war in the world that we each go through? What do you say?
Against your Yetzer Hara, to connect to Hashem.
Right? So all of the wars in the whole entire world are just teaching us about that. Our own inner world against our evil inclinations and our bad habits and our things that we think are okay. And all the blockages that we have and our fears and our ego. Everything stopping us from connecting to Hashem. That's the number one war in the whole entire world. How do we learn about it? Hashem shows us wars in this world also to teach us. Because even the world, you know, the physical wars of the world, everything there is also just the aspect of the evil inclination. שיש לאדם צרים למטה, כך יש לו צרים למעלה. When a person has hardships down here, and opposers down here, and enemies down here, so too, so they say they have it up above. Therefore, right? How did you go to war? How did two nations go to war? Because in the heavens, they're also beefing. How? The ministering angels are going at it. So that shows up in a physical war down here. It's like, I was in Al-Sheikh, I remember during the war, we were sitting there and a rabbi gave a Dvar Torah, he said, with all due respect to the soldiers and to the generals, and there is due respect and we appreciate every single thing they're doing, the pilots and the soldiers and everything, they're really just carrying out the final scene, meaning all those people that they kill are already dead. They've already been killed in heaven. So now fruition has to come into physicality. The soldier has to go to put the bullet in them, or whatever it is. The pilot has to go drop the bomb, right? But in the heavens, it's already been decreed that they're dead. So where's the war happening? Where's the real war? The Yetzara, the war with the Yetzara. And this is why the Kohen comes. The Kohen would come and make this declaration before they would go into war. לנצח את האויבים ועשית רעך שסביב הקדושה. Our goal right now is to overcome our enemies and the other force, the other side, that the energy of the other side surrounds our camp on all sides. It wants to surround the holiness. Right? It's a known thing. You go to holy places, there's always the riffraff around it. Right? You go to see a holy rabbi, and there's also the mafia. It's always like this. You go to Jerusalem, until you get to the Kotel, what's all around there? Things that you could never put your eyes on. You don't want to see. The opposite of holiness. That's how it is. Holiness, nothing in this world can exist without a spark of holiness in it. So then where do all the evil forces need to get their life force from? From holy things. So they have to come to nurse. So when you have super holy things, it's like a Tesla fast charger, right? They want to come and connect. They want to find some opening in. So that's why you see, don't get startled. When you go to holy people, when you go to holy places, holy times, you see a lot of riffraff and you see a lot of things that aren't so holy around them. Why? Because that's the way of the world. Like when you have a beautiful cake in your house. If you don't protect it, what's going to happen? Flies and ants in 2 seconds. Why? Flies and ants are like disgusting creatures, so to say, right? You don't want them around your food. How do they exist, though? From your food. And if you don't protect it, they're always going to be there. But then it's not like you have to, why do I have ants? Why do I have flies? What do you mean? Because you have cake. And they go together. It's not nothing to be startled about, right? So too, when we were growing internally, it comes with a war. It comes with a battle. What are you doing here, Sammy? What do you mean? I saw you going to shul. I wanted to come along. What? I can't go to shul with you? That's how he talks. He comes in there. He just slides in. He's always there. Check him. Hey. Ah, okay. So the important thing to know. So they say that when a Jew is inside a synagogue or a Beit Midrash, or listening to Torah, praying, whatever it is, their Yetzara feels like he's in jail. That's why you feel you have to get up, you have to move, you have to go around, you have to get out of the place. Why? Because you're in jail right now and he doesn't want to be there. It's uncomfortable. But if you know that already and you let your brain rule over, not Sammy, so then you sit down and you tell him, take it. You can't go anywhere right now. I want to be here. You don't like it? Deal with it. This is your submission. This is how you put him down. This is how you get him to behave. And if you always just listen to his voice, and again, what's the number one rule? How do we differentiate between the voices? The simple, quiet voice that only says one claim, that's the Yetzer Tov, the good inclination. The one that's making all these different claims, and you know, but if you do this, and if you do that, then that will happen, and then all those calculations, the many voices, that's usually the other side talking to you. The side of Kedusha, the side of purity, is pure. All it has to say is one thing. It doesn't have to raise its voice, it doesn't have to give you a lot of opinions. You know what's true. You know what the truth is. Be very simple, very subtle. So around Eretz Yisrael, there's tons of haters, right? Because it's the Holy Land. We're surrounded all around us by the most evil forces in the world. That's what the rabbis say. Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is like the rose amongst the thorns. Same thing we're saying here. All these preventions, all these blockages, all these things that stop. When a person is prevented from doing anything holy, so now a person wants to go fight them. You have to go to war with all of these blockages. You're not going to stop me from coming to the land of Israel. You're going to stop me from coming to where I'm meant to be. Coming to a state of mind where everything's aligned. So then when you go to fight, you're in danger. Great danger, God forbid. Because you start to arouse more forces against you now that you want to fight. That they want to bring you down and they're trying to draw you down from serving Hashem completely. And that's the main war that we're at all the time. But you have to strengthen yourself at that moment to stand on your feet strongly, to not fall from your level at all. And then for sure, you will merit to break through all of the obstacles, to nullify all of them. What did he just say? It's very important. You want to try to go to Israel, meaning you're trying to do the right thing in your life, you're trying to come closer to Hashem, you're trying to have God consciousness. What happens then? You're going to get attacked. Because that's the way of the world, right? When you try to make progress, try to do good things, people come against you. Especially if you're trying to go to the holiest place in the world, mentally or physically. Then you say, okay, well, I really want this goal, so I'm not going to give up on the fight. Let's go to battle. And then what happens? They get reinforcements. What do you have to do? You just have to hold on. You literally just can't get startled. Like Rav Yitzchak said to Yechezkel today, right? Anytime you see din in this world, anytime you see judgments in this world, you should say, wow, thank you Hashem. Here's a thing that's dark that's going to get flipped into good. Here's a way to reveal more chesed. Here's a way to transform this negative idea, this negative energy that's being presented to me, and to flip it into positivity. I just have to hold on. If I get startled and start making a big deal about what I'm seeing, you're already lost. You're the scared people that should have never gone out to war in to begin with. The scared people were told to go home before the war even started. We're not meant to get startled. אבל במי יהיה ביטחונו, חזק שלא ייפול מעבודתו יתברך חס ושלום. How would you ever have the strength to know that you're not going to fall off your level when you get questions, when you get hardships, when everything starts to come against you? Where is your insurance policy? How do you have any faith in that you're going to be able to come out of the fight? Ha'ikar urak emuna kedusha. The main thing is only pure, holy emuna. When you're strong with emuna, בוודאי אין לו להתיירא משום מלחמה ושום ניסיון בעולם. When you have strong emunah, you for sure should not be afraid of any test or any war at all in this world. And that's what it means, שמה ישראל, אתם קרבים היום למלחמה. Listen Israel, today you're coming close to a war. בזכות שמה ישראל לבד, it's only by way of the merit of שמה ישראל that we say 4 or 5 times a day that we have no fear to go into war. That's the security policy. היינו זכות וכוח אמונה קדושה. What does that mean? The power, the merit of holy אמונה. בזה לבד אתם יכולים להתקרב למלחמה. With that alone you could go into the battle, you can go into the war. Spiritually and physically. כי מאחר שאתם חזקים באמונתו יתברך, since you're strong with your אמונה in Hashem, שוב אין לכם להתראה כלל משום מלחמה בעולם. You should not be afraid of any war in the world. Right? How was it here when sirens would go off? What would we do?
Dance.
Ballistic missiles coming from Iran. In this Beit Midrash, we get up and we dance. Continue learning Torah. One thing's for sure, we didn't go to a bomb shelter. We didn't run away. Why? Hashem, you're calling out. You want me to pray? You want me to dance? You want me to be happy? Rocket's not going to hit. We see even those that did, what ashkecha pratit, what miracles. But for sure, to get scared, what's the fear going to do? So it's not to say that we don't have fear, right? We're not complete tzaddikim. I know every time a siren went off, you get a little zap of adrenaline that comes in you, right? Why? Yeah, you're getting attacked right now by a terrorist organization. Yeah, it's pretty scary. But what happens the second after you realize that a fear has come up inside of you? And this is the point. When you have emunah and you know that everything's from Hashem, so that anything you detect coming up, you're able to navigate it and to bring it back to its source. Oh, fear? What does that mean? I have to have awe of Hashem? More respect of Hashem? Okay, message got. Now I don't have to go to the bomb shelter because the rocket's not coming for me. Joy comes up? Okay, well, if I am happy about this thing, shouldn't I also be happy in the emunah that I have with Hashem, and the connection that I have to Hashem? The fact I can put a kippah on my head, I can put on tefillin on my arm? Can I not be happy about that too? Everything needs to be taken back to the source. And if you have emunah, then you're not scared of anything. אל ירא לבבכם, אל תיראו, ואל תרצו, ואל תחפזו מפניהם. Like 4 different words of fear. Don't get scared, don't get startled, don't get afraid of your enemies or your tests at all. אל תיראו, don't be scared. משעתעת סוסים ומשפעת הקלגסים. Don't get scared of all the legions and all of the tanks and the kol hakranot, the voice of the tanks coming closer. All the different war strategies that the enemies of Israel try to do and try to scare us with and to terrorize us and to make threats against us. Don't be scared of it. Kol hakhinot halalu yesh bemilchemet ha'yetzara. All of these aspects, you have the same exact thing in your own spiritual battles. Now, there's also a little Iran, a Mahachmeni Dinijad and a Khomeini inside of you that's trying to tell you the things. You also can get slapped around in two seconds, no air defense. Take care of them as well. But all of these aspects of real physical war we also have internally. This is known to anybody who's a little bit stepped into connecting to Hashem and fighting your Yetzara. If you a little bit have done this, stepped into this war and tried to come closer to Hashem, you've already experienced the battle for sure. For sure. Even more so if you're trying to do it in Eretz Yisrael. There you have the physical battles and the spiritual battles. In America, you just have the spiritual ones, not so many physical. Afilu adam pashut legamra, even the most simple person. Because the way of the other side is, the way of the Satan is, that he comes to make threats and to scare a person very, very much, to make Avodat Hashem, the service of Hashem, extremely hard for them. What happens if I fail? What happens if I get embarrassed? What happens if they don't accept me? What happens if I don't understand? What happens if I do understand? What happens if I understand and I connect to the Torah so much that I'm going to start wearing black and white and change my whole entire life? All these fears are nonsense. So what any of it? What do you have to do? Connect to Hashem. Where does it start? With what you can do right now. Why are you right now, when we're asking you to read a book, are you worrying about wearing black and white? What do the two have to do together? And who even says you have to do that? Why are we jumping a million steps? Let's just be right here. All that fear, all of those tests, all of those red sirens and red alerts and rockets coming your way, right, into your mind, just to mess with your mind. People forget this, but why is it worth it for Iran to fire so many rockets? Why is it worth it for all of our enemies to attack us so much? People don't realize how much they actually fire at us. It's not about the killing. They know. They've learned already for the past few years. Physically speaking, they should have higher statistics, right? But Hashem is protecting us. But they're not that stupid. Why waste so much money in doing this? That's what people don't understand. What is terror called? Terror. It's about terrorizing. It's not about murderizing. It's not about killing. It's not about that. It's about the terror. It's about the fact that at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going to wake up and now have to deal with all of your children being awake. That alone. When did Hezbollah shoot rockets at us every week? Friday night when you light your candles. The exact time of peace, when you're tapping into God, that's when we're going to send a mosquito to annoy you. That's part of it. Why? Just to make it harder for you to connect. It's not about taking you completely off. It's just about shaking the boat. Can you get startled? Can you get afraid? Can you forget that Hashem is there with you in every single step? If you forget it for 2 seconds, it's worth it for us.
Is that why Iran sent the missiles?
100%. Always. 100%. Why on Shabbat, specifically? It's the day of our blessing. Why on Shabbat? Let's mess with you a little bit. What would cost more for Israel? If they fired on Shabbat or if they fired on a Monday afternoon? It would hurt Israel more on a Monday afternoon. The state of Israel, meaning money and, right, the people out in the streets. So why Shabbat? Mess with the Jews. Mess with the Jews. So now you see, it's about the terror more than it is about the killing, even. Right? So too, that's back to the hint on the Yetzirah inside of us. Sometimes his goal is just to trip you up. Not to sin. Not to detach you from Hashem. Just make it harder for you. Put a leg out there, right? Close the door before you can get it. Why? Why would that ever happen? To see if you're going to break through the door. To see if you're going to continue fighting to connect to Hashem. If you get startled, you might have failed the test. And this whole world is a big thing just coming to distract us. If you look at it that way. It could also be a whole world of looking, of trying to connect us. It's all in the mindset of how a person wants to see this world. Because of this fear, because of this threat, this battle that you have to go through when you connect to Hashem, a lot of people just gave up or they didn't even start to begin with. They knew about this, they know it's a hard life, they know it's not an easy transition to go through from doing whatever you want on Shabbat and starting to respect Hashem and your own self and try to build a family, keeping Shabbat kosher, praying 3 times a day, Torah. All these things, they're not easy things to get into. They are battles to get there, to be able to acquire it, to make it part of your life, to get rid of the nonsense that's in your mind and bring in Torah into that there. These things are not easy for us to do. It's every single day we have to do it. But for a person to get scared of it, and that's why he's not going to even try, because there's going to be a battle, so I'm not going to do it. וזה בחינת שעתת סוסים ושבעת הקלקסים. וכל הקרנות. This is the aspect of all of the neighing of the horses and the sounds of the tanks and the rockets. What does that all mean? I'm telling you, don't get scared of all of the war noise that you're going to hear. War comes with noise. This world comes with noise. Don't get scared of it. אבל עיקר בעבודת השם שלא יתפחד האדם כלל. The main thing in עבודת השם is that you should never יתפחד. Not לפחד. People always sing the song, והעיקר לא לפחד כלל. That's not what Rabbi Nachman ever said. Rabbi Nachman said, והעיקר לא להתפחד כלל. Two different words in Hebrew. לפחד is to not be scared at all. You can't tell a person not to be scared. People get scared. It's natural to be scared. Rabbi Nachman didn't say that. Rabbi Nachman said, לא להתפחד כלל. Do not make yourself scared at all. Don't cause more fear. שבעולם הזה האדם צריך לעבור על גשר צר מאוד. In this world, Rabbi Nachman says, we all have to go on a very narrow bridge. והעיקר הוא שלא יתפחד האדם כלל. The main thing that is a person shouldn't cause themselves fear at all. What does that mean? Stop watching the news. Get out of your WhatsApp news channels that are telling you news you don't need to know about rockets that are being shot in places that you don't live in. And soldiers that are being shot at that you're not related to and you're not connected to. Yes, we're all Jews and we have the pain of our whole entire nation. It's enough for you to know that we're at war right now. You don't need to know the details. Knowing that you're at war is enough to pray. Why do you have to watch news? Why do you have to see dead people's faces? Whether they're terrorists or soldiers, it damages your soul. Why? Why listen to all this news? Why cause yourself so much anxiety? Why think about how religious people live versus how you live and what you're going to have to spend so much money to kosher your kitchen and to buy kosher food and to change your habits and to change the way you dress? Why are you thinking about all of these things? Why are you focusing on the noise that comes with the war? All these things are distractions. We have to go on a narrow bridge. The main thing is that you don't cause yourself fear. It is a narrow bridge. It is scary. It is suspended in the air above concrete water. Nothing's easy about it. But then you want to, on top of that, add things that are cause you fear? בעיקר התחזקות לעבור על הגשר. What's the main thing you can use to strengthen yourself to get through this narrow bridge? In peace, without any fear? It's אמונה קדושה. And that's the aspect of Shema Yisrael. Because of the Shema Yisrael, in the merit of the Shema Yisrael, meaning in the merit of our emuna, then you'll get al yirach levavchem, al tiru ve'al tartzu. Your heart shouldn't get soft. You shouldn't be fearful. Don't be scared at all. Why? Ki Adonai Elohechem ha'olech imachem lo'oshi etchem. It's a God that's going with you. It's God that's going with you. Hashem's going with you. He's going to fight your enemies. He's going to bring salvation to you. And that's what it says in Tehillim. Hashem li lo yira. In Elul, right? Elul and Tishrei, we have a minhag of after Shacharit and Mincha. The Arizal instituted that we say Tehillim 27. Every day in Elul and Tishrei, you should make a big effort to at least say Tehillim 27. Kaf Zayin. It says, Hashem li lo yira. Hashem is for me. I'm connected to Hashem, I won't be fearful. When I have emunah in Hashem, full emunah in Hashem, then for sure I can get through all the wars. I can overcome all of the battles, all the tests that I have, and in the end I'll be able to return to Hashem truthfully. Zot ashiv en libi al ken ochil. This is what I'll bring back to my heart, and that is my hope. So when we have full emunah by way of Shema Yisrael, again, what is Shema Yisrael even saying? We have to break it down. Shema Yisrael, hear Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Yudkei Vavkei is the four-letter name of Hashem that represents the source of everything. Infinite mercy, was, is, and will be. Everything comes from there. Everything is that. There is nothing besides Hashem. That's what that name teaches us. Yudkei Vavkei. Was, is, and will be. Master over everything. Nothing else besides Hashem. What's Elokeinu? Elohenu. That is, all of the physical limitations, all the powers that we feel in this world, so to say, what we experience is nature in this world, that is Elokeinu. When you go back to Yud Kei Vav Kei, that is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That is all God. It's all mercy, complete mercy, was, is, and will be. And all of that that we just mentioned, all of those aspects, Echad. It's all one. Meaning all we have in our life is just God. What we experience as nature is God. What we think is all godly trickles down into nature as well. It's, everything's one. So now that the fact that the enemy is coming towards you to attack you, who sent them? People like to forget that God was behind October 7th. It's not that Hamas is separate than God. Nothing in the world is separate than God. Hashem is behind everything that's happening in the world. That emunah will give you the strength to get through any test. Because if Hashem's here, then it's all good. Hashem only ever does good. And it's for my benefit. Not only that it's good, it's for my benefit. And it's going to bring me to ways of connecting to Him more. So what am I afraid of? And then I go full force. Full force into the battle. Against my physical enemies and against my spiritual enemies. Any of the thoughts, any of the emotions that I have inside of me telling me I'm not worthy to connect to Hashem, I'm not able to connect to Hashem. Or all the fears of what might be, the fears of success and the fears of failure. I don't pay attention to them. Because Hashem's with me. And Hashem's going to fight with me. Hashem's going to fight for me. Ki Adonai Elohechem ha'olech imachem lilachem lechem im oivechem. Lo shia etchem. It's Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Elohechem, your God, that is walking with you. To fight for you with your enemies to bring you salvation. The first verse tells you don't be afraid. Right after that, you get the promise. It's God that's going with you to fight. Another way, another part in the Torah, it says, Hashem yilachem lachem ba'atem tacharishun. Hashem will fight for you and you guys, be quiet. Just sit there and watch. Let Hashem do the battle. But when we start to get startled and shaken up and get scared, then either we're not fit for battle or we go into battle and we lose our mind. We want to be able to go into this world and come out of this world completely connected, in peace, and not to be startled by this world. It's an extremely important thing. Bezat Hashem, the main way to do that is by way of downloading the idea of Shema Yisrael, of knowing that Hashem is one in every facet of life. One second, there was a question here. And then we end. How do we emulate all distractions taking you away from pure thought? Shema Yisrael. Also, mikveh is good. Also, making sure you eat kosher is extremely important. And being happy. Being happy is also zgula for memory. There's one more question here. Where is it? Wow. Why are you focusing on the noise that comes with the war? Yes, that's a quote from what I said. Correct. Bezat Hashem. Only good things, guys. Shabbat Shalom. May Hashem bless us to have the guards and the judges on all of our gates to make sure our head and our body is protected in purity, to really be able to download the lights of Hashem, to always connect, to always be connected, and to never be afraid. We're going to have scary things happen in our life. This whole entire world is a very narrow bridge. By the way, what does that mean if this world is a bridge? Think about it.